He took Burton to his hut and introduced him to his wife, a short, delicately boned brunette. She was very gracious and friendly and insisted on going with the two men while they visited the local boss, the Falko Tukkanen. The word was regional slang for white-haired boy or big shot. Villa Ahonen was a huge, quiet-spoken man who listened patiently to Burton. Burton revealed only half of his plan, saying that he wanted to build a boat so he could travel to the end of the river. He didn't mention wanting to take it further, but Ahonen had evidently met others like him. He smiled knowingly and replied that Burton could build a craft. However, the people hereabouts were conservationists. They did not believe in despoiling the land of its trees. Oak and pine were to be left untouched, but bamboo was available. Even this material would have to be purchased with cigarettes and liquor, which would take him some time to accumulate from his grail. Burton thanked him and left. Later he went to bed in a hut near Collops, but he couldn't get to sleep. Shortly before the inevitable rains came, he decided to leave the hut. He would go up into the mountains, take refuge under a ledge until the rains ceased. The clouds dissipated, and the eternal but weak sun reasserted itself. Now that he was so near to his goal, he didn't want to be surprised by them, and it seemed likely that the ethicals would concentrate agents here, for all he knew, Collop's wife could be one of them. Before he had walked half a mile, rain struck him and lightning smashed nearby into the ground. By the dazzling flash, he saw something flicker into existence, just ahead, and about 20 feet above him. He whirled and ran toward a grove of trees, hoping that they had not seen him, and that he could hide there. If he was unobserved, then he could get up into the mountains, and when they had put everybody to sleep here, they would find him gone again. Chapter 29 "You gave us a long, hard chase, Burton," a man said in English. Burton opened his eyes. The transition to this place was so unexpected that he was dazed, but only for a second. He was sitting in a chair of some very soft, buoyant material. The room was a perfect sphere. The walls were very pale green and were semi-transparent. He could see other spherical chambers on all sides, in front, behind, above, and, when he bent over, below. Again he was confused, since the other rooms didn't just impinge upon the boundaries of his sphere, they intersected. Sections of the other rooms came into his room, but then became so colorless and clear that he could barely detect them. On the wall at the opposite end of his room was an oval of darker green. It curved to follow the wall. There was a ghostly forest portrayed in the oval. A phantom fawn trotted across the picture. From it came the odor of pine and dogwood. Across the bubble from him sat 12 in chairs like his. 6 were men, 6 women. All were very good-looking. Except for 2, all had black or dark brown hair and deeply tanned skins. 3 had slight epicanthic folds. One man's hair was so curly it was almost kinky. One woman had long, wavy yellow hair bound into a psyche knot. A man had red hair, red as the fur of a fox. He was handsome, his features were irregular, his nose large and curved, and his eyes were dark green. All were dressed in silvery or purple blouses with short flaring sleeves and ruffled collars, slender luminescent belts, kilts, and sandals. Both men and women had painted fingernails and toenails, earrings, and eye makeup. Above the head of each, almost touching the hair, spun a many-colored globe about a foot across. These whirled and flashed and changed color, running through every hue in the spectrum. From time to time, the globes thrust out long hexagonal arms of green, of blue, or black, or of gleaming white. Then the arms would collapse, only to be succeeded by other hexagons. Burton looked down. He was clad only in a black towel secured at his waist. "I'll forestall your first question by telling you we won't give you any information on where you are." The speaker was the red-haired man. He grinned at Burton, showing unhumanly white teeth. "Very well," Burton said. "What questions will you answer, whoever you are? For instance, how did you find me?" "My name is Loga," the red-haired man said. "We found you through a combination of detective work and luck. It was a complicated procedure, but I'll simplify it for you. We had a number of agents looking for you, a pitifully small number considering the 36,006,009,637 candidates that live along the river.